Okay, good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning service. Hope all of you are doing good by God's grace. I'll just start off with an intro and then Pastor Anil will do the main message. For our portion, turn to Luke chapter 15. Before that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for the gift of life you have given us. Thank you that you are God over all things. You have prevailed over death. You are the victorious one. And you are the triumphant one seated at the right hand of the Father. We trust you, we worship you completely, and we want to believe you without any form of reasoning that tends to discouragement or unbelief. We want to trust you completely for this season, for this time, and believe and hope that the ways of God are just, and when God does something, he does it perfect. Give us that childlike attitude toward you, God, and just enjoy these moments that you have given us to be alive and to redeem our time in the ways you have shown us. We praise you, we thank you, we worship you, and bless the messages right now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Luke chapter 15, we all know the story of the father, the elder son, and the younger son. And the younger son has been termed prodigal, which is okay, but we see at the end of the story, he's not a prodigal. But in fact, it's the elder son who has kind of not got the point. But we will read few verses from Luke chapter 15. Okay, if you don't know the story, please read that portion. Luke 15 is a great chapter, and Luke 15, 11 to 32 is the story, and I believe all of us would know the story by now, and it's one of the favorite stories of Sunday school children also. Story of the prodigal son. Okay, so let's read Luke chapter 15 starting at verse 17. So here the younger son left the father, his house, and went into a far country, okay, and wasted his substance with riotous living. And he spent everything he had, and there was a famine, and he began to be in want, and then he ended up eating the food of swine. Okay, now look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Now, before we get into the story, the theme of this intro would be our standing in Christ versus our practical state. Our standing versus our state. Or we can say positional truth versus experience. Our standing versus state. Our standing before God is given to us totally as a gift of grace. When? At the moment of our salvation. At that very moment, you and I received an amazing standing in God, and this standing is also termed as positional truth. And we all know that. Now, this positional truth is what points to our identity and our worth. It is that which points to our identity and our worth. And our self-esteem in life is to be derived out of this identity. All right? So just note, think about this. The moment we got saved, it did not change our state. In fact, the word of God says in Romans chapter 4, God justifies the one who has believed, meaning he receives justification as a gift, all because of his faith in Jesus Christ. But he could be at the same time ungodly in his experience. So, which means the moment we got saved and we received the standing or positional truth as a gift of grace, it changed our standing before God, but it did not change our state before God. We are still human beings in that sense, with an old sin nature and all the issues that relate to that, and the natural and the physical life that we are limited by, time and space and matter. Okay. Then on the other hand, our state points to our condition or our experience. It points to our condition or our experience, or we can say it is something that is very practically that we are accustomed with. That is what we call our state. And therefore, because that is what we are more practically accustomed with, we are more practically inclined to think of our life, naturally speaking, in terms of our state rather than our condition. Because state is more practically understood, our state is more practically understood by us than our standing. That is okay. It is something that the Word of God says about who we are in Christ regarding our standing, and not necessarily experienced as such as how we are accustomed very much to our day-to-day state or our condition as human beings. Okay? Now the question is this: does God give importance to our standing or our state? A good question to ask.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning service. It's great to be in the house of the Lord today online. Let's trust God this morning that He can really minister to us through the internet today, even though we can't meet this morning, that He would really minister to us through the internet. So in Matthew, today's passage is Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Speak to our hearts, minister to us, comfort us, encourage us, we pray. Give us a word in season this morning, we pray. Yes, speak to us a specific word for our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning, I would like to speak on the theme of stewardship. Stewardship. And when you look at this subject of stewardship, it is mentioned in the book of Luke, chapter 16 and verse 2. And the word stewardship there is the Greek word oikonomia, oikonomia. And it means the administration of a home or a property. And the word steward in Luke 16:1 is the word oikonomos, and it means a person who manages the domestic affairs of a family or a minor. That's what it means. And this word is not in this passage, but the whole theme in this passage is one of stewardship. Stewardship. And we are going to learn from this passage as to what God wants to communicate to us this morning. When we look at verse 14, this is a parable, and it is saying The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And in our first point today, this talks about divine ownership. Divine ownership. Now, one of the things which have happened a lot these past 3 months is there have been a lot of deaths all around the world because of the coronavirus, and also many men of God have passed away into heaven. And I was thinking about this subject of death, and the Bible says this in 1 Timothy 6:17, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." In Job 1:21, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there." This is also mentioned in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 15. In Psalm 24:1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." So one of the key points, or one of the most important points we must keep in mind, is that of divine ownership. That God has created this earth, God has created you and me, and that God owns everything in this world. He owns everything. He owns the whole earth, all the galaxies. He owns every human being on this earth. Divine ownership. And everything belongs to him. So it is saying here that this man, he called his slaves and delivered his goods to them. So the second point is, in Matthew 25:15-18, is stewardship. He delivered his goods to them. And what that means is that they were not the owners, but they were given the responsibility to manage it. Right? So a steward means a manager. A manager is not an owner. A manager just manages the possessions of somebody else. So he was given the responsibility, these people, of his goods. And in the same way, God gives us the responsibility of his goods. And we see here that there are three slaves here. The word for servant should be actually understood as slaves. So three slaves. And verse 15 is beautiful, that he gives talents, or talents is a unit of money. Now one talent is about 6,000 denarii. And one denarii was a laborer's daily wage. So one talent is about 16.4 years of work or wages. So he gives different amounts of money to these three slaves. For the first one, he gives 5 talents, which is about 82 years of wages. For the second one, he gives 2 talents, which is about 32.8 years of wages. And for the last one, he gives 1 talent, which is 16.4 years of wages. So it's a lot of money. He gives them this money. And it says here, very uniquely, that to each according to his own ability. Now that's an important point. To each according to his own ability. And what that means is that God gives his goods, or whatever he wants to give you, according to your ability. According to your ability, according to this passage. According to what you can handle. And we see here, as to what they do with it. So there is a stewardship given. There is an element of responsibility here. And we see, in verse 16, the one who had 5 made it another 5. And the one who had 2 in verse 17 made it another 2. But in verse 18, the one who had 1, he took it and he dug it in the ground and he hid the Lord's money. In verse 19, it says, after a long time. Now that is the period of time. So that's point number 3. Matthew 25:19, the A part. Period of time. So the stewardship or the managing of the goods was for a period of time. The Bible says after a long time, or after a long period of time, the Lord comes or the master comes and he starts settling accounts with them. So there is accountability here, accountability. And what is that accountability? It's very simple. It's how have you managed my wealth, or what have you done with what was given in your care? So we see here that in verse 20, the one who has five talents, he says, Lord, I gained five more talents. And in verse 21 is the evaluation by the Lord. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. That word good in the Greek means not only constitutionally good, but also useful to others. Good and faithful servant, a person you have been faithful. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's the reward. So we see, what are the steps we see? The first thing is we see is divine ownership, that all things belong to God. What is the second thing? That God gives his people a stewardship of his goods, and that involves responsibility. What is the third thing? There is a period of time, and in the period of time it is seen what we do with what we have been given. And then the fourth thing is the period of time ends, and then there is an accountability, there is a settling of accounts, and then we see there is a reward. So he says, well done, enter into the joy of your Lord. In verse 22 also we see that the person with the two talents also does the same thing, and the reply in verse 23 is the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servants, and enter into the joy of the Lord. When we come to verse 24, we see the person with the one talent, he says, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent. Look, there you have what is yours. Now here he is making an accusation to the master. He's telling the master, you are a person who takes things which do not belong to you. Right? You do not work for something, but you take it. Right? And I was scared of you. That was an accusation of unrighteousness. The Bible clearly says in one verse 14 that the goods belong to the master. It was an accusation. It was also an excuse. And what was the master's response in verse 26? He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received my own with interest. Right? Verse 27. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So take it from him. And in verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So the individual who did nothing with his talent, which is 16 years of wages, the master took it from him and gave it to the one who had the 10 talents. And in verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Cast him. And this is not talking about loss of salvation, but this is talking about loss of reward and privilege. So two kinds of stewardship are shown here after the period of accountability. One is faithful stewardship and one is unfaithful stewardship. For faithful stewardship, we have a reward, but for unfaithful stewardship, there is no reward. Now, when we look at this passage, we can apply it to our lives, because the Bible says our life on earth is a stewardship. Our life on earth is a stewardship. The Bible clearly says, naked we came and naked we go, in Job 1:21. In 1 Timothy 6:7, we came with nothing and we go with nothing. And so our life on earth is a stewardship, and I have made some points of stewardship. And there could be many more points, but the first point on stewardship, where God gives us stewardship, is health, our health. In 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profits a little, right? In Exodus 31:15-17, the Sabbath was given as a physical day of rest for the person to rest, and in 31:17, to be refreshed. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25-27, it talks about Epaphroditus, who was almost sick unto death and therefore was not able to be effective in the ministry. In 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it is in the context of immorality. The Bible says that your body is not your own. You know, your body belongs to me. You belong to me. And what this talks about is health. Now, many of us don't focus on health. We just assume that our bodies will function well. But it is very important to pay attention to our health. To eat right, to get enough sleep, to do moderate amounts of exercise. It's very important for our health. For those of us who have to take medicine on time, to watch what we eat. It's very important because health is like the foundational thing. If you are healthy and if you are not sick, then you can do many things and you can use the many, many things which God has given us for His glory. So if you have health, we come to the second point. We can work. We can work. And work is one of the main things which God has given the whole human race. In Genesis 2:15, God told Adam to tend the land and to keep it. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, in 2 Thessalonians 3:7-11, Paul was telling the Thessalonian believers that it is important to work. It is important to work. In Colossians 3:22-24 and in Ephesians 6:5-8, it tells us how to work, not as men pleasers with eye service, but as unto the Lord. And this is very important. In Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but if you just keep talking, there is no benefit, right? And a very interesting thing happened. I was talking to one of my friends who has a little business, and his business was down. And when I called him and asked him how he was doing, he said, I've started selling these sanitizer dispensers, you know, because business was not happening and there was this requirement for this. And I went to many hospitals and I sold many. And the lesson I learned there was, wow, that's incredible, right? In this lockdown, if you have lost a job or things are not happening, be flexible and be open to God to do any kind of work. It is only in our country where work has no dignity, but any kind of work, why? Because that work will bring in a salary or a remuneration which can pay the bills and put the food on the table. So work is important. So if you have health, what can you do? The second thing is work. Work is a stewardship on earth. The third thing is money, wealth, and possessions. Now we must understand in Deuteronomy 8:18, God told Israel, never say that your wealth is your own. It is I who have given you the wealth. In 1 Chronicles 29:14b, David, when he was making an offering to the temple, he says, Lord, what we are giving is out of your own. In 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully, right? So you and I, we have to ask ourselves this question. If we want to earn a lot of money or we own a lot of wealth and possessions, what is it for? Is it only for my benefit? Or is it for my benefit and also for the glory of God? That's very important. So money, wealth, and possessions. Remember, you cannot take it when you die, right? It remains on the earth. Your children will have it in Psalm 49. But the point is, it is a stewardship. How I use my money is a stewardship. How I use my wealth, how I use my possessions is a stewardship. The fourth one is time. Time. Now this is an important one, because in Psalm 90 verse 10, the Bible says our lifespan is approximately 70 years or 80 years. And therefore in Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we might incline our hearts to wisdom. In Ephesians 5:16, the Bible says, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So how I use my time is extremely important. Now this is what is a fundamental fact for everyone. Everyone has 24 hours a day. Even the Lord Jesus Christ had 24 hours. And this is what one writer says. When you give somebody your time, you give them a part of your life which you can never have back. That is why time is so important. Time. When we give somebody our time, when we give time to our family or give time to disciple somebody, you are giving them something which you cannot have back. Time. It's a stewardship. The fifth one is relationships. Relationships. And in Matthew 22:30, there are no marriages in heaven. Everybody is like an angel of God. So if you're married here, your wife, your children, they are your brothers and sisters, parents. They are a stewardship. Relationships are a stewardship on the earth. And how we love one another and how we live with one another is really important, right? It's a stewardship. The Bible says in Psalm 127:3, the fruit of the womb is his reward, or is a reward. So children are individuals who are given to us by God. It's a stewardship, right? Relationships. What else? The sixth one is the ministry and the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, the Bible says this. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. One be found faithful, right? It's a stewardship to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 and 17, Paul said, the gospel has been given to me. If I do it willingly, there's a reward. But if not, a dispensation in the King James, which means a stewardship has been handed over to me, right? The next one is spiritual gifts. In 1 Peter 4:10, this is what it says. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Stewardship, right? And then the next one is skill set. In Exodus 31, 1 to 6, God gave Bezalel and the other artisans a particular skill set. And that skill set was to build the tabernacle. And maybe God has given you a particular skill set and God desires that you would be a good steward of it. And the last one, the ninth one, is authority, right? Authority as a husband. In 1 Peter 3:7, the Bible says, live with your wife honorably as the weaker vessel. As a father, Ephesians 6:4, do not provoke them to wrath. Do not provoke your children to wrath, right? As a boss, in Ephesians 6:9, treat your employees well, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And also as a pastor and a leader, in 1 Peter 5:5, where it says, shepherd the flock of God, 1 Peter 5:2, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So stewardship. These are some points. Our health, our work, money, wealth and possessions, time, relationships, ministry and the gospel, spiritual gifts, skill set and authority. Now, how do we do this? How can we be good stewards? It's very simple. It's very simple by trusting in the Lord, by asking His help, by receiving grace from Him on a daily basis to be able, we will be able to do these things. We cannot do these things in our own strength, though we could do some of them. But if we want to be really effective, how do we do it? We do it with God's help, with God's help. Now, in conclusion today, it's very important for us in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 that we run the race. And how are we running the race? Patiently looking unto Jesus. The focus is always the Lord. What else? In John 17, 4, Jesus said, I have finished the work you gave me to do. And He was telling the Father in His prayer. And that should be our motivation, that whatever stewardship God has given us, that we should finish it, right? The third thing is, in 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, we can, verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, I have kept the faith. So that should be our goal, like Paul finished the race. And the final thing is, when our time has come and we are gone, what do we leave behind? We can leave behind an investment in our children, in our family members, in the next generation. We can invest. That is why, as a church, we focus so much on discipleship, discipling young people, discipling our children. We can focus on investment, and that will bear fruit continuously. So, let's think about it today. Life on earth is a stewardship. One day, God will call us home, whether through death or through the rapture. And one day we will face Him. And we will be at the Bema seat. And He will evaluate our work with what we have done, with all these things, with our health, with our work, with our money, our time, our relationships, our callings in the ministry, the gospel message, our spiritual gifts, our skill set, our authority, whatever God has given us, whatever God has given you and me, He will evaluate. And what would we like to hear? What would we like to tell Him? Lord, you gave me 5, I made it another 5. Lord, you gave me 2, I made it another 2. Right? That is what we would like to tell Him. Right? That's what we would like to tell Him. That's what we would like to tell Him. And what would we like to hear from Him? Well done, the good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. It is my prayer and it is my desire, and I think you can have it that also towards me, that none of us would reach there before the Lord and be like the last servant, be like a person who is now weeping and gnashing his teeth. Why? Because of the loss of opportunity. Life on earth is the opportunity. Once you die, it's over. Right? For those of us who have believed in Jesus, we are going to heaven. But for those of us who have believed in Jesus, after believing in Jesus, what we do with what we have, there is a reward in heaven. And let us take life seriously. Let us consider these things. Life is short. Life is fleeting. Life is maybe 70 years, max 80 years. And let us, on a daily basis, use all our effort, our energy. Right? Ecclesiastes says, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Because, in the grave, there's nothing to be done. Right? We do it with all our might. Right, we take care of our health, we work hard, we use our money correctly, we use our time correctly, we are careful with our relationships, we are, our callings, the gospel, our gifts, our skill set, the authority which God, we use it correctly for the glory of God. Amen? And one day He will say to you and me, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Help us to value your instruction from the scriptures, especially when it talks about future things. In Matthew 25, it's 24, it says, we do not know the day and the hour when Christ is going to come. Yes, he comes like a thief in the night. In Matthew 25, the first few verses, it talks about being prepared and being watchful, like the five wise virgins. Help us, Lord, to be watchful. Help us to be working. Help us to be witnessing at all times. And help us to do the best that we can with the precious goods which you have given into our care. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord, we pray. Yes, help us to enjoy your presence. Thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.